Hello and welcome to Pondering Popper. My name is Kali Kais, aka Satan Raken on Magic Online. Today we got a special treat for you. A lot of people don't get to the chance to talk to the best players in the world because most of them are Brazilian and they speak Portuguese. So here today I have Oliver Jukes from MTGO. How's it going, Oliver?
Hey, it's fine. I'm doing fine. Thanks for having us.
So Oliver is going to help us out with translation, so he may be on future episodes giving the assist, so really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.
And then our main topic today is going to be Blue Red Terror featuring Spock Vida Loca, I think that's what it was, but Spock, all the way from Brazil. How are you? Thank you for joining us.
Hello, guys. Hi, Spock Vida Loca. My name is Vinicius. Thanks for invite, Kalikas.
Yeah, thank you for agreeing to come hang out with us. One of the things that people probably are aware of is that Spock made something like 30-0 on Magic Online Leagues playing Blue Red Terror. Is that exactly what happened, or did you have more games between them?
Pode traduzir para mim?
Ele tá falando que rolou uma história de que você tinha feito 30-0 com o R Control no Magic Online. Ele tá perguntando se foi isso mesmo ou se teve partidas entre essas vitórias todas.
Foi isso mesmo que aconteceu. Foi 30-0, teve splits no meio desses 30. E tipo, foi a minha melhor sequência que eu já fiz na minha vida.
Yeah, he says he actually did it. It was actually 30-0, but there were some splits along the way. But it was his best run, like back-to-back 30-0 was his record.
That is absolutely insane.
It's insane, yeah.
That's a lot of money, too, to make for a Brazilian player, right?
Yeah, it's good money for me.
And are you just using Magic Online as your work, or do you have more?
Yes, it's my main work, actually.
Wow. So you've been playing Is It Terror or Blue Red Control for quite a while. Feels like since the fall. Have you been playing just that deck for a long time? Did you play something else before that?
Yeah, I play Witch Terror for 8 months last, and I like to the deck for responded the decks for the format like Mono Red, Glitters, BG Gardens, and Ultimize.
Nice. It seems like it has really good matchups because of all the flexible answers and the cantrips. Do you find that it's gives you a lot of player, ability to change your game plan?
Yeah, and deck is so versatile against more decks for the format. And no Skull Gates. Skull Gates is so scary.
It's hard for me as a Familiars player to be afraid of Skull Gates, but I know that the Skull Gates players are very excited to face Blue Red Terror.
Yeah, yeah. Just match so hard. I don't play, I am 0-2 in the league. I concede the match instant.
How often do you quit a league in the first couple of matches? Do you always play all of the matches?
Pode ajudar nessa, Oliver?
Ele perguntou com que frequência você dropa de uma liga entre assim, as duas primeiras partidas. É frequente ou você costuma jogar todas as partidas mesmo quando não está indo muito bem?
No, I drop for the leagues. I have less play points, or I drop for Calgate. for example, if I 0-2 in the league and then I have so many play points, I drop from the league.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, what are the... We already talked about Colgate is the worst matchup. Do you think that you have a good matchup versus everything else? You said that the main top three with Glitters, Red, and Black Green Gardens, yes.
Yeah, it's a so good match. And I have a like side plan for Mono Red and Glitters. I have a good part of my sideboard for these matches. And the first game is so close, but game 2 and 3, it's more easy. And BG Gardens, and the deck is so good for this match. I like to remove 2 breath weapons and keep 2 gorilla shamans for breath weapons is so bad in this match.
So would you be willing to go over what your strategy is in the different matchups? We can talk about them directly if that's okay. Or do you not want to give away your secrets?
Ele tá perguntando se você poderia passar matchup por matchup como é a sua estratégia com o deck, ou se você acha que isso é entregar demais seus segredos.
Oh, no. For Mono Red, it's find the Breath Apple more speed possibility for respond the Kudota and stabilize the game. For Glitters, it's then a semi-plan for this match. Breath Weapon is so good in this match. And keep removals for possibility Glitters and counters the big Glitters.
Right.
This match in game 1 is so hard for don't have não tem uma maneira, poder trazer essa parte de remover Glitters depois que estiver encantado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he says that game 1 can be very hard because once Glitters resolves, it's impossible to remove.
Right.
And after game 2 and 3 versus Glitters, I have casted the Fire and Gorilla Shaman. For UW Glitters, I like Pyroblast and Breath Weapon, so good. For Breath Weapon, it's so good in metagame.
Right. Yeah. When I was playing Kuldotha or Sticker Kuldotha Burn, every time that I faced you, I was like, it just feels very much an impossible matchup. I think that the record of me winning versus you is like 1 out of 30 times.
Yeah, it's a so good match for Rahi. And I like play 4 Idoblets. So see this meta is so more mono reds and the breath weapons so good.
Yeah. What about versus Black Green Gardens? Is it just do you just counter initiative and then go from there, or does it revolve around trying to protect a Murmuring Mystic?
Oh, Smets is so hard to explain. I like counter the engines of the draw early game for just no disinvolve the game. For gera muito valor, se poder traduzir.
Você quer falar em português a estratégia dessa partida e eu traduzo todo? Uhum.
Pode ser. Essa match é bem difícil, então eu vou falar em português para ser mais fácil.
Okay, so he's gonna describe this matchup in Portuguese because it's kind of a tough matchup.
Yeah, that's totally fine. Explain. I think it would be good to, if you think there's something that you have a lot to talk through, then go ahead and just go right into Portuguese, just to make it easier for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Sacou isso? Porque quando você tiver qualquer coisa que, tipo, tiver muito conteúdo, assim, você quiser explicar mais, pode já passar pro português na hora e eu traduzo.
Beleza.
Pra ficar mais confortável.
Nessa match, no início do jogo eu tento impedir que ele gere valor com os artefatos, com até o token de planta, tento remover isso do jogo dele, para ele não começar o loop de fazer ter draw 2 todo turno.
So, in the beginning of the game, he's looking to counter the artifacts if it's possible. And even remove the plant token if it's all he has to sack, because once the loop starts with sacking stuff to generate value, it doesn't stop. So as much as he can hold on to an empty board in the beginning of the game, he'll look after doing that.
That's interesting. I haven't thought about doing that in familiars, but people have talked about trying to keep the sacrifice fodder off the table. So that's a good point. What do you do as the game progresses? How do you win the game versus a 700 removal deck when you're a 3-creature deck? But Oliver, you can translate if you want.
Entendeu? Vá lá.
Então, tipo, eu começo a gerar valor com Monarca, e ao decorrer do jogo, como o Monarca gera muito valor, eu cuido para conterar as criaturas de emblema. E depois que o jogo estiver bem estabilizado, eu tento fazer várias serpentes com backup de um Augur ou de alguns counters para conseguir que elas sobrevivam. E também Místico é muito bom. Se eu conseguir achar ele ao decorrer do jogo, eu desenho para protegê-lo também.
So he'll try to accrue value with the Monarch as much as it can, and it generates so much value along the game that once he has a critical mass of serpents, he'll dump them onto the board all at once with an Augur of Bolas back up as sacrifice fodder and stuff. Or even like if a Murmuring Mystic will show up early enough, he can kind of design a game plan where he can slam the Mystic with some counters back up, or at least spells he can cast in order to generate a bunch of birds.
That makes sense. So how is your matchup versus blue-white familiars? Do you feel favored?
Perdão.
A matchup contra o W. Quer dizer, você quer falar mais alguma coisa sobre BG ou tá de boa?
Tá de boa, acho que é basicamente isso. Contra o então, W familiar, isso?
Isso.
Contra o W familiar, eu gosto bastante dessa match, pois tem um Monarca no meu deck, e o familiar é conhecido por não conseguir roubar muito bem o Monarca. E ele responde bem as cartas do deck, tem como. O familiar gera, tipo, tem muitas big spells. Ter counters de baixo custo ajuda muito para desenvolver o seu jogo, fazer serpentes por um baixo custo de mana. Eu gosto de boss side, eu acho melhor ainda com Pyroblast para negar as big spells dele.
Yeah, so he says familiars have been famous for having a hard time stealing the Monarch, and he has Monarch with a backup of cheap counter spells and interaction. And he also says familiars has a bunch of big spells, big mana spells involved in this its game plan. So it's also a positive exchange for him, usually with his one mana removal and cheap counter spells. He says it's almost always positive. The exchange is almost always positive in his favor, especially after the sideboard with Pyroblasts.
Yeah, Pyroblast is a problem for an all-blue deck that's playing basically no white spells. That's definitely hard. Have you ever played other Pauper decks as well? Or have you just been playing Pauper for the last 8 months?
And I play Soul Timing with Burn. It's so easy off the pilot, and it's fast for the league, for the grind.
Right. That's true. How long have you been playing Magic? Were you playing before you started grinding Pauper? Or have you been grinding Pauper for a while?
Não, acho que esse aqui vai ser melhor tu traduzir também.
Tá bom.
Eu jogo Magic, tipo, desde os meus 14 anos, faz 13 anos, na verdade, faz 10 anos, 10 anos atrás. Eu comecei no Standard, depois eu fui pro Legacy, e há uns 2 anos eu comecei a jogar Pauper, Pioneer, na verdade, no MTGO, e depois eu fui pro Pauper grindando também.
Quantos anos atrás no Magic Online? 2 anos?
Dois anos.
Yeah, so he's been playing Magic since like what? Since he was 13? 13, você falou, Spock? Você tinha
13.
13? E você tem
Isso.
23 hoje, é isso?
24. 20. Ah, tenho
24, ok.
23, fazer
So,
24.
yeah, so basically 10 years ago, when he was 13, he started playing Standard. And then he migrated over to Legacy. All of this was in Paper Magic. And then 2 years ago, about 2 years ago, he started playing Magic Online, started with Pioneer, and then switched over to Pauper and started grinding.
How did you learn about grinding Pauper leagues for money? Is that a well-known thing in the community?
A comunidade é muito boa, principalmente aqui no Brasil, tem uma grande comunidade Pauper. Tipo, esse mês eu vou jogar um torneio mensal com 74 players, é bastante coisa. E no MTGO também é muito boa, tenho bons amigos italianos. Tem o Heterodox, um jogador do Japão, que a gente trocou uma ideia, ele conseguiu fazer top 4 num torneio no Japão semana passada. Então, aí tem uma boa comunicação e uma boa comunidade.
He was talking about the community as a whole. Like he says, in Brazil, the Pauper community is very strong and very helpful. And he says he's gonna play in a 70. Quantas pessoas você falou? 74?
4.
74 people paper Pauper tournament. And he says over the internet he has some friends in Italy and Heterodox from Japan who played his deck in a big event recently and did well, made
Yeah.
top four. Mas eu Spock, ele estava perguntando sobre como foi que você ficou sabendo, ou o que que te levou a ir para o grind no MTGO, sacou? Tipo, de jogar para ganhar uma grana no Magic Online.
Isso começou quando eu estava trabalhando ainda, tipo, trabalhava como desenvolvedor de projeto. E daí, tipo, eu comecei a jogar um pouco o MTGO por diversão, assim, só por jogar. E quando eu vi que estava dando uma boa grana, eu saí do meu trabalho e comecei a grindar no MTGO.
Isso foi tudo por conta própria, né? Tipo, você não, você já tinha ouvido falar de outras pessoas que faziam isso,
Não,
ou foi
não,
assim?
não. Por conta própria, assim, tipo, quando eu vi que estava dando grana, daí eu comecei a jogar
Ah,
no
que massa.
MTGO.
Yeah, so he says he was working at the time as a project developer, and he started playing for fun MTGO, and then he started looking at how much value he was accumulating from playing leagues and doing well. And it was a decision he made on his own. He actually quit his job and started playing only Magic Online because he saw the potential for making money. I think that actually happens with a lot of people here in Brazil, but at the same time, I'm kind of surprised to know he did. I mean, he realized the whole thing by himself.
Wow, that's really impressive. Is he able to make more or similar, or is it just it's easier job? Like, are you making more money than you were before?
Você consegue, você entendeu?
Se dá mais dinheiro, pode.
Se você consegue tirar uma grana mais ou menos parecida com o salário que você tinha, ou se a decisão de mudar teve mais a ver com ser um trabalho mais tranquilo, mesmo que não pague a mesma coisa.
Não, eu recebo mais do que meu antigo trabalho, com certeza.
Uhum.
Recebe mais que tipo, a média brasileira, assim, é um bom salário, sim, um salário ok. E, uhum, e que, tipo assim, mas é bem desgastante, tipo, eu tenho vários dias que às vezes eu até fico sem jogar, tipo, por causa que se jogar todo dia, tipo, sei lá, 8, 10 horas de Magic, é um muito cansativo, é muito exaurente.
Uhum. Yeah, so he says he actually has been making more money than before, and that the average salary is higher than an average salary in Brazil.
Wow.
But at the same time, it can be quite quite grinding personally, because he says sometimes 8 to 10 hours playing Magic a day, sometimes he takes a day off because of that.
Mm-hmm. And if you take a day off, you don't get paid, so it's hard to do that. Have you tried playing challenges to make more at once, or is that, because I talked to Selgus, and he said that he doesn't play challenges because the rate of return isn't good for his time. But I saw that you were in a couple of challenges.
Tá perguntando sobre os challenges. Porque se você sente que vale menos o seu tempo, ou se é por isso que você joga pouco. Porque ele disse que viu você em alguns challenges, mas que, pelo visto, você não joga sempre, né?
É, eu jogo pouco challenge por causa que no final de semana eu gosto de fazer alguma coisa, sair com meus amigos ou coisas do tipo, e prefiro grindar nos dias de semana. Quando eu não tenho nada pra fazer, eu jogo challenge no final de semana. Esse no último final de semana eu joguei também. E um top 8 feliz.
Yeah, he says it has more to do with social life, because at the weekends it's easier to meet friends, go out, do stuff. But sometimes he'll have a quiet weekend, and then he'll play a challenge like he did last weekend, and then actually made top 4.
Yeah, that was cool to see. So let's see. I guess one of the things people want to know is if there's like a direct sideboard guide that you have for your deck, the current deck. Let's just go for like red glitters and black green, and then go from there. And then the other question I wanted to know was, what keeps you on blue red terror over something like one of the blue black terror variants, or mono blue terror, or like just going to the Dimir control? Is that like because it's got pyroblast, or is it the instant speed wipes versus like drown and sorrow? I'm all over the place.
Okay, let's go. I'll do each part separately.
Okay.
Ele perguntou se seria de boa você cobrir um pouquinho do seu plano de sideboard. Na verdade, se você tem um plano organizado de sideboard para as principais matchups, que seriam Mono Red, Glitter e BG Gardens. Essa foi a primeira pergunta. A segunda pergunta é sobre você ficar no UR, se você tem um motivo assim, tipo, para, se você já testou ou já pensou em migrar para o B Terror ou o B Control mesmo. Tem um B Control que é bem parecido, né, com o UR, mas com as emoções pretas, ou mesmo Mono Blue, se você já testou, ou se é o Pyroblast que te mantém no vermelho, se é o Board Wipe Instant Speed, né, em vez de Drowning Sorrow.
I like o R for... I play with Mono Blue, UB Terror, but I don't like this plan. I like control the game with Board Wipes and counters and remove the creatures and keep Monarch for the value. UB control, it's so good. I like, but my results with Wehi and is solid and I don't eu não me vejo ainda mudando de deck ainda pelos resultados que estão bons.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so he says basically what sticks him to blue red versus blue black, which he considers a good deck as well, is because he's been having consistent results, so no reason to change what's working.
Yeah, that's true. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. E sobre o side guide.
Eu tenho um side guide aqui, vou abrir ele e já digo para vocês.
Okay, so he does have a side guide actually noted down, and he'll open it and read it for us.
Okay, great. So
against Kuldota, I like remove all monarchs from the deck, and I like cut two ponders and up to breath weapon and it blue elemental blast or hydro blast. It's variable, which is for this meta of the week, the number of blue and hydro I keep in the sideboard.
Okay.
And against UW glitters and Jeskai glitters, it's the same side guide is UW and keep up the pyroblasts and Jeskai snow. Actually, my side plan versus UW glitters is remove the three monarchs and four ponders and up two gorilla, two rise elemental, two cast to the fire, and two breath weapon.
I'm surprised that you're removing cantrips.
And in Smets, the early turns is so important. I keep response for the glitters, and its interactions is so more important to find this interaction.
So you just overload on interaction so that it'll be in your hand and you don't have to cantrip into it?
Yeah.
Pode
falar.
Não, é isso. Não sei se entendeu a pergunta, mas tipo, se a ideia é você vai colocar tanta interação pra dentro que pode tirar a cantrip pra... Tipo, a ideia é que a interação já esteja na mão e você não precisa ficar castando cantrip pra procurar a interação.
É, essa é a ideia mesmo.
Yeah, that's the idea.
That's something that Adepto Terra said about familiars as well, that he wants to just have the good cards in his hand already. It's just not as... I find using the cantrips to be extremely fun. So I don't want to let it go.
I feel you. I do the same.
And in the deck, after the side, is so more good cards for the match. And don't find some cards. It's... begins in your hand, and you respond the cards of the glitters deck.
That makes sense. Okay. And then, what is your plan versus black green? Or you already had told us the plan. So, what is the way that you sideboard?
Yeah, against black green, stacks no chance. So breath nice. Weapon is so inutil in this match, and keep gorilla shaman for pay five mana and destroy a thinking blade or a blood fountain. It's black and green don't play more with artifact lands, but if your opponent play with cheese, and it's so good, gorilla shaman.
That's cool. That makes sense. I got timed out from the Tithing Blade life gain triggers, and I felt very sad.
Oh. É, ele disse que já perdeu no tempo por causa dos triggers de Tithing Blade. Wait a second, I was going to ask a question myself, which was... Oh, so what do you side out? Only breath weapons? Você tira só breath weapon?
Only breath weapons, and up... two gorilla shamans for my deck is no cards for just match in the side intend okay. I keep.
So do you have any hot tips for people that want to play blue red terror? Like what's your three best pieces of advice for a new player for the deck, just like game side game plans wise?
Seus três principais conselhos para quem tá a fim de jogar com o R em termos de plano de jogo.
Ah, sim. Meu primeiro é mantenha a calma. É um deck que ele sempre tá atrás no início do jogo. Tu vai... Tipo, tu sofre bastante para estabilizar. Pois o Pauper atualmente tem decks muito... muito rápidos, então tu tem que entender que é um deck que sempre vai estar atrás.
So his first advice is keep calm, because the first turns of the game, the proper meta game has a bunch of very fast decks, and you will be behind in the early game. It's normal, and you have to keep calm, because you're gonna be able to find your answers and control the game and yeah, so take it easy in the beginning of the game. You will be behind, but you will stabilize.
Okay.
O segundo é não gastar recursos à toa, cantrips, augurs, ou até mesmo monarca. Ter um backup para fazer essas spells e não se afobar muito. Tipo, é um deck tipo, que tem que ter muita calma para jogar com ele.
So second tip is don't waste your resources, even cantrips and Augur of Bolas. If it's needed, you should only deploy when you have either when you need to do it or when you have a backup plan or a way to protect your spells and warrant your game plan. Yeah, especially with Monarchs. So you have to take it very slow with your decisions and don't just spew your resources.
I feel like this is something that I do in familiars. I just spew it all off. Have fun.
Yeah.
E o terceiro é cuidado, muito cuidado com Call Gates. Eu acho que, tipo, quando uma pessoa às vezes vai pegar o deck, tipo, acaba enfrentando Call Gates, se torna muito frustrante a sensação, porque o deck perde muito para Call Gates. Então, tu tem que entender que o deck ele tem outras matchups muito boas e que, tipo, que elas se pagam, a sua winrate vai se pagar por outras matches, tipo, por ter uma match perdida, isso é totalmente normal.
Yeah, it says to try not to get too frustrated, because if you pick the deck up and then you face a bunch of call gates, you might get too frustrated and feel like the deck is no good, but it's the only real bad matchup. And then the win rate will kind of balance out with all the other good matchups it has.
Okay, that makes sense. So I think that we've discussed a lot about the deck itself, and it's cool to hear your history that you've been playing a long time, and then you get to just not you get to, but you're able to make it work that you can do this for your work. Do you find that to be more fun and rewarding than being a project manager, program manager?
Você sente que pilotar o deck e grindar o mall com o deck meio que você construiu e consegue colher os frutos, se você acha que é mais divertido e recompensador do que o seu emprego antigo?
Com certeza eu acho mais recompensador, eu fico mais feliz quando vejo alguém jogando com uma lista idêntica à minha e sempre quando eu consigo ajudar alguma pessoa também. Eu não criei a lista, eu peguei a lista do MTG Goldfish, não vou... Purgatório é um jogador brasileiro, foi dele que eu copiei a lista. Mas conforme eu fui jogando, eu fui dando uns upgrades nela para ela ficar bom. Também junto com o treino do time aqui, do Monarchs, tipo, ajuda bastante. A gente já discutiu muita coisa e conseguimos fazer uma lista bem perfeitinha, assim.
Yeah, so he says it does feel way more rewarded by, using magic to make a living than what he did before. And he also gets a lot of, he gets very happy when he sees someone using his exact list in some event. And yeah, also he's glad to help people when people contact him looking for advices with the deck and stuff. And he says his original list was copied from Purgatory, a player on Magic Online, which is a Brazilian player. And then after a while from playing the deck, he adjusted the list. And he also has, I mean, at this point, he has a list which is like his distinct Spock list for blue-red. But it started out from a list he saw from Purgatory.
That's cool. That's nice that he's getting a little bit of credit there. I'm sure he'll appreciate that if he hears it.
Mm-hmm. And also he said a little bit about our team. So that part we actually skipped in the beginning, but me and him, we share a team. We're from the same team, which is called Monarchs mm-hmm. MTG. It's been established a long while ago, but in 2020, when the quarantine from the pandemic started, the team started to expand across Brazil because it was actually focused on São Paulo. And then from there, we started a podcast. We started doing some videos on YouTube. It's all in Portuguese, but we have this side of content creation. We also work as a team with members from all over the country. And we even have David Royal, which is Saitama, David Garcia from El Salvador. And yeah, it's really fun. We have a weekly training session which takes place on Tuesdays, and we actually stream it in our Twitch channel, which is twitch.tv/monarchsmtg.
That's awesome.
Monarchs MTG. Yeah, it's all in Portuguese, but we've been doing content and also working as a team. And he says the training sessions have been helping him a lot with tuning some slots in the deck.
That's really cool that you guys have a team like that. I talk to a lot of people about familiars, but I'm just going rogue, doing all my own things.
Yeah. Here in Brazil, we have somewhat of a team culture. I think somewhat similar to what they do in Italy. I see a bunch of people together in teams.
Yeah.
Like Golden Pigs and stuff. Yeah. So it's a way we have of kind of helping each other out and both in improving as players, but also in making content together.
Nice. So before we get going, why don't you guys let me know what your favorite card of all time is and why?
Oh.
Is it spell search? Don't let it be spell search spread again, please.
Ele tá perguntando a carta favorita de todos os tempos e por quê.
Oh, so difficult.
If you wanna take, se você quiser parar para pensar um pouquinho, eu já sei a minha. I already know. told him to, if he wants to think about his yeah. choice, I already have mine ready because it's been the same for a long, long time. And I really Wild love Mongrel? The card, which is... No, it isn't. It's very close. It's very close. I love Wild Mongrel, but it's actually Fire and Ice.
Oh.
It's a card that I love so much that I had the card, the physical card. I had four copies of the Apocalypse original ones before it was legal in Pauper because I believed it very hard that it was going to get a downshift some
Wow.
sometime. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because I played Magic for a long time and then I stopped for like 10 years and I only came back to playing because of Pauper because when I quit because it was getting too expensive for a hobby that wasn't really, I mean, here in Brazil, we were only doing it for fun. We didn't really grind or anything. And then the physical cards were getting too expensive. I was a college student, so I dropped the hobby. And then 10 years later, I heard about Pauper and I was like, oh, okay, so it's only commons. It's going to be cheap. That's what brought me back. And I still had some cards from back then. I mean, I sold the most expensive stuff I had, but I had some stuff. So I had some Fire Ices. I think I had two copies. And then I bought two more and I saved them for later. And then I was so happy when it got downshifted. That's even funny. Today, like even if it's not particularly good in the metagame, I'll try to slot at least one copy in. I really love the card because of the flexibility. And I think it's also there's also like a childish a fascination for the card because I remember the first time I saw it, I actually started playing when Odyssey was in standard. So Apocalypse cards were not that common at the time. I mean, they were... Because people play standard, and I played standard. I played Blue-Green Madness in standard. And I never ran into split cards. So the first time I saw a split card, it was Fire and Ice from like some list and I saw in the internet for a world champion deck. Hey, I think that's what it was. Like the blue-black-red Psychotalk deck from Worlds 2001, I think. And then I saw Fire Ice from that list in the internet. I was like, what is this card? It's two cards in one. There was a fascination there with something new that I had never seen before. And then I actually liked the card a lot. So that's why I still have it as my favorite card.
That's awesome. That's a really cool story.
Spock. And my card, I like Bitter Blossom and I have Orzhov tattoo in my hand. But my favorite card is Counterbalance. Yeah. It's so... I played Miracles in the Legacy. I liked this card for plus Brainstorm. It's so good. It's my favorite card set.
Wow. Yeah, that given that you like Counterbalance, that makes sense that you want to play Blue-Red Terror to me. Nice. Well, I
don't know if we have time for if I can chime in with a question.
Sure.
If it's okay. Because I was thinking, I mean, Spock said Colgate's is the worst matchup by far, but I've been playing with Blue Red in the leagues and I've been having a very hard time playing versus Dredge. So I was going to ask him what he thinks of the matchup, because it's a relatively new deck, but it's been showing up more and more. So is it okay if I ask him that?
Yeah, yeah.
É, então, Spock, você falou que a matchup, a única matchup ruim que tinha do deck era, quer dizer, a pior, né? A match mais horrível, que é Colgate's, mas eu particularmente, jogando de UR, tenho enfrentado o Dredge bastante nas ligas ultimamente, tenho achado a match bem difícil. Você tem alguma experiência nesse matchup, alguma coisa para falar sobre isso?
Tenho. Eu não tenho, assim, tanta experiência por causa que é um deck meio recente. Então, tipo, eu não tenho conclusões ainda confirmadas sobre essa match. Mas o que eu posso te dizer é que eu já tenho duas relíquias no meu sideboard. E que wipes são muito bons nessa match. Tipo, e também tava vendo, tipo, pessoas jogando de UR contra Dredge, que eu tento me informar. E vejo o pessoal negando as criaturas logo no início, e daí falta counter pra Dread Return ou aquela carta que ganha vida, que eu não me lembro o nome agora.
É, Not the Bone.
Isso aí, a ideia é basicamente isso.
Uhum. Yeah, so he says it's actually, it is a difficult matchup. It's early to tell because the deck is kind of recent, but he already found slot for two relics in his sideboard because of that matchup. Right. And he says board wipes are quite good in versus his deck because kind of negates flashing back Dread Return. And he's seen some people playing versus the deck, and he feels like people have been using counter spells too early in the matchup, and they should be saved for the reanimation spells to bring back the Lotleth Giant.
Right,
and
yeah.
And not, yeah. So, yeah, it's early, but he says it's kind of difficult, yeah.
Nice. Well, we're going to go ahead and close it there, and I just want to say once again to both of you, thank you for coming. I hope that you had a good time, and I hope that everybody had fun listening. Obviously, we'll see you in the queues no matter what. So good luck with your grinding. I hope you make tons of cash and we see a 40 and zero this time. You can say that, Tim, if you want. Tell him about the 40-0.
Ele agradeceu pela nossa presença e falou que, enfim, a gente se bate aí pelas ligas. E falou que espero que você tenha muito sucesso com o grind e que o seu recorde chegue a 40-0.
Ah, eu agradeço muito, tipo, obrigado pelo convite, obrigado você também, Oliver, por traduzir aí, fazer essa função. Fico muito feliz de ter contato com outras comunidades de Magic. E a gente se vê por aí nas ligas, também agradeço todo mundo que está ouvindo aí. E se precisar de alguma dica de UR ou coisa do tipo, só me chamar no MTGO que eu ajudo sempre.
Yeah, he says thank you for having us, and it's nice to be able to communicate with the wider Pauper community, and also, yeah, we'll see each other around in the queues, and thanks everyone for listening.
Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Yeah, thank you.